I don't miss the meetings about meetings about meetings.
I had 6 head coaches in 14 years. Culturally, we were probably lost for a few years.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Colm Boyle is with us now, I think. Colm, good morning to you.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, no, loud and clear. We were talking about Cian O'Neill. We'll talk about the Dubs in a moment if we've got time at the end. But what kind of an impact do you think he could have in Galway?
I think James spoke about it very well during the week there. He will bring a level of professionalism to them. There's no doubt about that. He's huge experience, even since he's been with us. So we had him for a year, obviously, in 2012. And he moved on to Kerry then after that. So even since he would have been in with us in 2012, I'm sure he's developed. He's developed further on, and he's gained even more and more experience. And when I was kind of thinking about it during the week, I suppose when he came in and took us in 2012, probably fairly similar scenario to the Galway team now was in. We would have had a mix of youth and experience, and kind of older lads like possibly Damien Comer now and Shane Walsh, who are really looking to push on and really looking to develop. And then you obviously bringing in your younger players and your newer players into that environment as well. So I think Keane would be really good for that. Keane is excellent. He's organised. He's really confident in his own ability, but in a good way. So when he's speaking, you know what he's talking about. You know, and he directs his communication across very well. So look, at he will be brilliant for them. There's no doubt about it. That, and like I said, with Pádraig Joyce coming into his third year now, it's probably what was needed in the Galway setup to bring in someone new, someone fresh, and someone that might be able to bring them in a different direction.
Yeah, now it's a really interesting and diverse group who are actually plotting the course. Like, you can, it's great having somebody who is an absolute legend in Joyce, and you had Dively, obviously, it seems like working on the football side of things, and now you've got somebody else just to kind of add that third pillar. And I'm sure there's other people who are important in the backroom team. But we talk about the position of Galway versus everybody else on a weekly basis when we're doing the power rankings, and like, they just in recent years have flattered to deceive. So you can't put them in the top tier until they actually beat a top tier team in White Hot Championship and go, right, we are actually legitimately contenders here. And that has been the big knock on them. Is there a possibility they could bridge that gap this year?
There absolutely is. Like, you know, it's well documented at this stage how open this year's championship is, and you've just said that they're looking for one big win. Like, that big win, they'll be looking for that in 6 or 7 weeks' time against Mayo. Like, if they win that game, I'm sure the confidence that team would gain from that, it would simply elevate them. You know, they go into a kind of final then on huge confidence, and then I suppose the All-Ireland series, where they really haven't been in the last 10 years or so to a certain extent, perhaps by 2018, you know, that's when the real test would come. But I suppose at the minute we're all kind of wondering how good this Galway team is. I think Division 2 definitely suits them this year, especially with Keane coming in. You know, they brought in a good crop of young players as well, and new players, a lot from the under-20 team that won the All-Ireland 2 years ago. So, like I said, I think Division 2 is suiting them. I think they probably haven't played the best teams in Division 2 yet either. So I think that their games are coming now. I think they've Clare this weekend, followed by Roscommon then and Derry, and then you're possibly looking at a league final after that. So these four kind of tougher games in Division 2 will probably tell us a bit more about Galway. And I think definitely that's a good run-in for them, especially if they get to a league final and possibly win Division 2 in the lead-up to the Mayo game.
You know, you couldn't ask for a better warm-up for championship. You get to test yourself week on week on week against teams who are fairly similar standard, but who are going to put you to the pin of your collar. And then you have to step up the graduation to the Mayo game. Like, if you were plotting a course, maybe you'd want an easier game in the middle there to try some stuff out. But actually, if you've got a fair idea of what your team is, they're going to be able to, if all goes well for you, you can go on a roll now and catapult yourself into the championship.
That's it, Jordan. Look, a winning game, everyone knows that winning games breed confidence. Everyone, you know, if they were playing Division 1 this year, obviously wins are a lot harder to come by. You might get 2 or 3 wins, you know what I mean? And they might be going into that Mayo game, you know, not as confident, you know, as if they're after winning 7 or 8 games there in Division 2. Possibly win a Division 2 title. It's probably the same between themselves and Derry for that accolade, but I think you're right in what you're saying there, just winning these games. And like Galway, you know, you said they're around the same standard. I think Galway will see themselves better than Division 2 football. So they'll be just their full concentration of winning these games, literally getting through them, getting in Division 1, and then it's full focus then on Mayo in 7 weeks' time.
And as a Mayo fan, putting aside the objectivity of being an analyst this morning for us, how worried are you?
You'd have to say Galway are improving. There's no doubt about it. I suppose, like, it's an ideal scenario if you're thinking about that Mayo game in 6 or 7 weeks' time. Like, it's an ideal scenario for a Galway at the minute. They've had so little exposure TV-wise. No one is really sure how good or how good they aren't. I'm sure Paul Joyce is delighted with that. And they're just plugging along, getting their wins. And like I said, with Keane O'Neill, they will be improving. Now, they're going to come up against a good Mayo team, and Mayo, to win that game in 6 or 7 weeks' time, are going to be have to be at it. They're going to have to be 100%. And to me, it's the game of the championship, definitely early doors.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how things are in Mayo at the moment. However happy the Galway management must be, the Mayo management must be, with the obvious exception of Tommy Conroy's injury, relatively happy with the way things have gone so far in the league. You know, there's genuine strength and depth. There's a bomb squad if they need it coming off the bench. There's still more to come in the coming weeks, we hope, in terms of players returning. So, like, quietly, they've put together a great league.
They have, yeah, almost unexpectedly, to be honest, because I think they were generally laid back, starting back into the new year. Had a tough couple of games on paper, early doors, but got the points from that. And I think from that, they would have gained confidence. I think to date, they've used 31 players, which is a huge amount. And they have made a lot of changes from the starting team from week to week. So it's going to be really interesting to see what team James goes with on Saturday night. I think this will be the strongest Mayo team so far to date that lines up with Tralee Saturday evening. And I think it'll probably need to be coming up against Kerry, probably the informed team in the country. Like, but if you go through the Mayo players at the minute that haven't really, like, Brendan Harrison, Jason Doherty, Owen McLaughlin, all played the first two games and haven't played since. You have the likes of Darren Cohen, James Carr, Killian O'Connor, who I wouldn't expect to see this weekend. I don't think he's going to be rushed, who haven't gotten any game time yet. And then you have the likes of, obviously, Aidan O'Shea hasn't started a game yet. Kevin McLaughlin hasn't started a game yet. And Inda Heshin, after his breakthrough season last year, I'm sure he's pushing really hard in training to get a start. So when you factor in all them players have to come back in as well, it's going to be really, like, it's impossible really to pick the team for Saturday evening, which is probably a good thing, to be honest.
Is Oisin Mullen marking Clifford?
If I was a betting man, I'd say yeah. And I was actually just even thinking about potential matchups during the week. I would say Oisin will go back on David Clifford. Yeah, you could have a scenario where Paddy Durkin is on Sean O'Shea, Lee Keegan on Paddy Clifford, and then you go to midfield, Jack Barry possibly on Matty Ruan, Aidan O'Shea if he starts on Jeremy O'Connor, and down the other end then Ryan O'Donoghue on Tom O'Sullivan. So, like, all the matchups, when you physically go through them, just make it even more, the game even more a mouth-watering prospect.
Why do Mayo love playing in Tralee so much?
Well, I don't know, you might be saying that on Saturday night, but I think generally over the last 10 years or so, we've had a fairly good record down there. I don't know, generally when we've gone down there on a Saturday night, we've tended to stay even on the Friday night down there, which makes it a bit of a long weekend. But maybe it's the case, the fact that you're together all weekend or something like that, and it gives you that bit of an edge when you get down there. I'm not sure what the boys' arrangements are this weekend, if they're travelling down that day or not. But possibly that has something to do with it. But it's a great venue. And when that's a full house, you know, and I'm expecting it will be Saturday night, a full house, it's a great atmosphere, and Mayo always brings a good crowd with that as well, and it adds to it. So yeah, I think generally maybe the fact that you're just together all weekend, and look, Kerry's always a big game, you're always going to get yourself up for that, and you'll probably raise your performance for it, and possibly that's why Mayo have had a decent record over there in the last 10 years or so in the league. I won't mention 2019 Killarney in the championship, but generally in the league, yeah, it's been decent.
I don't think there's been a home winner in that fixture in a long, long time, to be honest, because Kerry have got a great record in Castlebar recently as well. What's interesting, though, is that if we kind of, like, pluck out a couple of years here, Colm, is that, say, 2017, I remember Kerry were very confident going into that game against Mayo in Tralee, and I think Andy Moran had an outstanding game, and Mayo come down and win that game. But the important thing was that it seemed like it was relevant come the summertime, that Kerry got a little bit spooked and Mayo should have put them away almost the first day in the All-Ireland semi-final, never mind the replay that they won well in the end.
Yeah, it is, I suppose. You know, sometimes these league games can have a small bit of relevance. I suppose the other flip side of that, you know, I talked about 2019. We bet Kerry in the league down there in 19 as well in Tralee. We bet them in the league final, and then obviously it came to the Super 8s game in Killarney and they totally dismantled us. So it can work both ways as well. It can be difficult to get the balance right. But you talked about that game there in 17, and Andy, like Andy in that performance, he probably spooked them so much, you know, even in the two games in the semi-finals. He brought that level and them two games as well. So yeah, definitely, you know, for him marking the Kerry backs, if you have a good game. So just say, for instance, if Oisín Mullins managed to have a good game on David Clifford, if they met again down the championship, down the line of championship, I'm sure he'd bring great confidence from that into the game. And the same vice versa, if Clifford obviously gets the better of Oisín, it'd be similar for him down the line. So these little kind of psychological factors probably do come into play later on in the championship.
Can I ask you then about those championship games in 2017, Colin? Because I'd kind of forgotten until doing a bit of reading this morning that obviously I remember that you scored the goal in the first game, in the first half, but that you were taken off after 48 minutes. And there was this big conversation, I'm sure you didn't see it at the time, on social media about why was Colin Boyle taken off after 48 minutes? It was almost as if it was a predetermined decision, that it was based on GPS marks or something like that. But what was the truth there?
The truth was, if you look at the player who actually came on for me that day, it was actually Paddy Durkin.
Paddy kicked the equaliser.
4 or 5 minutes into injury time. So the truth was, we had a strong panel, and Stephen was utilising the panel. Like, I'd heard all things that the GPS, that I wasn't clocking enough on the GPS, or that my hamstrings, that because of 50 minutes, I had to go after 50 minutes because of my hamstrings, even though I never had a hamstring injury in my life, you know what I mean? So you hear all these sorts of things, but I think generally it was the case that we had a strong panel, you know, there was great competition for the half back line in particular, team Lee Keegan, Donald Vaughan, myself, Paddy Durkin. So it was literally a case of getting fresh legs in. That was all that was to it. And there was a lot made at the time. I know there was. I was hearing it myself, but that was generally it.
And then he leaves you until, I think, the 69th minute, the second day, and you win. So there must have been a lesson in there somewhere. So this weekend, will you? Are you thinking it's going to be a Mayo win? Are you thinking it's going to be a sort of early marker? Is it going to be another great Tralee night for Mayo?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell. Like, you know, I think Kerry are the informed, although both teams have the same amount of points, I think Kerry are the informed team in the country at the minute. If you even look at their margins of that they've won the games by Monaghan, Dublin, and Donegal, like they've all been really, really comfortable. Obviously, drew against Kildare again the first day, but they have been really, really comfortable. Mayo's margins of victory have been an awful lot tighter. I think Kerry have scored the most in the league and they've conceded the less in Division 1. So they are getting that balance right. Obviously, we all know that probably on paper they're the top six forwards in the country, but they definitely look to be getting that balance right in defence now. And obviously, Jack O'Connor brought in Paddy Talley for a reason. He probably felt that at the back was their Achilles heel and Shipman scores. And at the minute, it looks like they've got that balance right. It looks like they're well set up. I wouldn't say they're getting a whole lot of bodies behind the ball or anything like that. I think it's just a case that their work rate is up. They're hunting the ball in packs and their turnover ball around the middle of the field, and they're utilising then obviously their strength is obviously their top six up front.
One last question. You've obviously established that these games can have an impact later on in the summer. Is there any part of James Horan that isn't thinking, or that is thinking, I'm not going to put my actual matchups that I will use in a championship match on display to give Kerry any tape? So I'm not going to give David Clifford the experience of being marked by Oisín Mullins. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do something totally different, and maybe even just go zonal and not reveal your hand.
Yeah, look, there's always that possibility, and the same from Jack O'Connor on his side. So there is that possibility. I just think they will match up as how they would plan if this was a championship game. I think they will. I think it'll line up something similar to what we called out earlier on. Now, you could be talking about this next week, and it could be nothing like we talked about. But I think it will. I think because both managers want to win this game. Jack O'Connor, I'm sure he's probably mentioned during the week to the Kerry lads about kind of Mayo's record down there the last 10 years. And setting down a marker for maybe later on the year as well. So I think Kerry are going to be really, really up for this. So it's going to be a really, really tough game for Mayo. But look, it's a great game to have. It's probably the top game of the league so far. So like I said earlier on, full house in Tralee. Hopefully the weather allows for some kind of decent football that it hasn't really allowed for you could say, top class intercounty football so far in the league. So hopefully we get a decent evening Saturday evening in Tralee, and you know, just seeing two top teams really go at it.
There's a good chance this is part of a trilogy that they play this week. They play in a league final and then they play later on in the summer.
Yeah, look, at quite possibly so, and look, a lot of other teams will have something to say about that, I'm sure. But yeah, it's quite possible. Like, certainly, you know, another win possibly for each team might get them into a league final. So obviously, you know, it's quite possible. It could end up something similar to like 2019, where we played them the league final and then later on the championship. So yeah, it could be interesting a few weeks ahead. And you know, there's not going to be a massive gap between them games realistically. You know, if, just say if it was Mayo Kerry in the league final, you're talking probably, what, 3 weeks' time. If they did meet in the All-Ireland series, you're only talking another maybe 7 or 8 weeks after that. So there's not going to be a huge turnaround or a huge maybe difference in performances or teams that's playing in them games or players that's playing in them games. So yeah, interesting times ahead.
Hopefully it's more Lord of the Rings and Godfather, and part three is the best part of the three of them.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers, Colm.
No problem, lads. Take care.